Please do be seated. We're going to be thinking about our gospel reading again this morning. From Mark chapter 4 and 5. It's on page 1006, and it would be helpful if you had that passage open in the Bibles. Just as we were reading there, I noticed something that's quite curious. Just shows that this is an eyewitness account where you get little details such as Jesus not only being asleep in the stern, but sleeping on a cushion. It's just a little reminder that as we approach God's word, this is reliable eyewitness testimony. But let me pray now. Father, do thank you for the great gift of your holy word, and we do ask that you speak to us by your spirit through it now. Amen. Well, when I was a teenager on holiday, many, many years ago now, my brother and I loved going out into the sea, body surfing, trying to catch the waves. It was thrilling. But I suppose being teenagers, we really got a little bit cocky. We were both pretty good at swimming, and the more we went surfing, the more we wanted a greater challenge. And we really enjoyed it when the weather got quite rough. Bigger waves were much more fun. I remember one day very clearly, though, it was very stormy. Great, we thought. We ran out into the sea full of enthusiasm. Big mistake. The waves were large and quite ferocious. It started out being fun, but soon it became very, very scary. And one particular wave picked me up and threw me to the bottom of the sea, a few feet below. No problem, I thought. I rose up out of the water, took a breath. There was another wave about to descend on me. So I sank under to protect myself and came up again. And there was another wave. And this went on again and again and again. And each time I was taking less and less breath. And I was getting very scared indeed. It was the one time in my life that I've really thought I was staring death in the face. However, luckily, I finally managed to get a wave that pushed me safely back onto the beach. But that day I learned just how fierce and uncontrollable the sea can be. I couldn't do anything about it. I was totally at the mercy of the waves. The events in today's Bible reading from Mark chapters 4 and 5 also involve untamable forces. And the disciples of Jesus find themselves coming face to face with forces far greater than any human being can handle. I want to look at this passage under two initial headings and then draw out three lessons. My first heading is wild and untamable forces encountered. Wild and untamable forces encountered. The first event occurs at night time on the Sea of Galilee. Verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And it was evening as they set out. Jesus went to sleep on that cushion in the boat. But then look at verse 37. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so it was nearly swamped. So a storm seems to have appeared out of nowhere. And that's not uncommon in the area of Galilee, due to the unique geography and climate of the area. But this storm, well, note the word in verse 37. It was furious. A furious squall came up. How do the disciples respond to that? We see a response of fear. And that's quite surprising if you think about it, because these are hardy fishermen, aren't they? They're used to going out onto the lake in all weathers. And yet they get very frightened indeed. They are so worried about drowning. So this is a major storm. It is furious. I don't know if you've been out in such strong winds. Maybe we need to think back to the 87 hurricane. I say that, but now when I get wedding couples come to see me, most of them seem to be born after 87. But never mind. But the point is, nature can sometimes be furious, can't it? And that's what the disciples faced on the lake. Wild and untamable forces encountered, leading to a response of fear. Imagine it for a moment. Waves breaking over your boat. The disciples are nearly swamped. Picture them bailing out as fast as they can in total panic. Wild and untamable forces leading to a response of fear. Well, let's just look ahead now to the second event in these verses. On the other side of the lake, when they arrive, something similar occurs. Again, we see wild and untamable forces encountered. Not in the force of a storm this time, but in the form of a violent, uncontrollable man. Take a look at verses 3 to 5. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. You see, a chain cannot hold this man. No one is strong enough to subdue this man. He is clearly demon-possessed. He is out of control. Can you imagine being near a person like that? It must be truly terrifying. Now look at verse 9. The evil force that is within this man describes himself as legion. For we are many, he says. So in other words, he's not simply possessed by one evil spirit, but by many evil spirits. And I think we get a sense of how many demons are in this man in two ways. First of all, we've got that name, legion. A Roman legion was made up of several thousand soldiers. Several thousand. And then when the demons are allowed by Jesus to go into the pigs, how many pigs are there? 2,000. The point being is there are thousands of evil spirits at work here. Can you imagine the enormity of that power? My first heading then, wild and untamable forces encountered, leading to a response of fear. But now let's move on to my second heading. This heading points us to what Jesus, to Jesus and what he does. Wild and untamable forces quelled. Wild and untamable forces quelled. Mark records it all so vividly, doesn't he? He paints a picture of just how unmanageable these forces are in nature and in this man, and then he presents us with Jesus, and he just shows how Jesus has complete control over the situation. So firstly, note again, Jesus was in the boat asleep. Jesus wasn't worried about the ferocious storm. Didn't bother him. And when the disciples wake Jesus up, what does he do in verse 39? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The wind and the waves immediately stop. And the term translated completely calm could be translated dead calm. Now, in your typical storm, when the wind goes, the waves remain choppy for a while. Not here. Word from Jesus and dead calm. One command. Everything goes from that raging tempest, waves splashing over the side of the boat, to complete calm. Back in the Old Testament, the sea was a symbol of chaotic powers and nobody could control it except God. So what are we being told about Jesus here? Psalm 89 verse 9 says this of God, "You rule over the surging seas. When the waves mount up, you still them." Or to make the point, let's think of that wonderful story of King Canute. You remember King Canute? He was a Danish king, wasn't he? Back in the 11th century. And he's the chap who sat on the beach as the waves were coming in and he was trying to stop the tide. "Go back, I tell you. I'm the king. You can't come any further." And of course, the sea didn't listen to him. The sea doesn't listen to a human person. No human person can control the sea, but Jesus can. Only God can control the sea, therefore Jesus is God. He has God's power. Now place yourself in the position of the disciples. You're totally terrified as you're bailing out the water in the middle of this furious storm. And then Jesus, having woken up, he's still bleary-eyed, speaks a word and brings dead calm, demonstrating this authority over nature that only God has. No wonder the disciples are stunned. And the result is, they are even more terrified. And just simply say, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So we see wild and untamable forces quelled, leading to a response of greater fear. I mean, the storm is scary enough, but to find yourself in the presence of one who has this godlike authority, who can control the uncontrollable with a word, well, wouldn't you be scared? To find yourself in a boat with a man like that? Who is in this boat with them, they think. It continues into the next event. Again, there the disciples are. They're witnessing this uncontrollable force. Nobody can subdue this demon-possessed man. 2,000 demons worth in him. And what happens? The man falls down at the feet of Jesus. The evil force within him shows fear before Jesus. Nobody can control this demon-possessed man, but he falls at his knees before Jesus, calling for mercy, describing him as the Son of the Most High God. And then, I love this bit, the legion of demons beg for permission to go into the pigs. This uncontrollable power begs for permission before Jesus. Just who is this man that has such authority and power over the raw forces of nature and over the wild forces of evil? So when the crowds turn up, they witness this crazy person now sitting dressed in his right mind. They are quite understandably scared out of their wits. Wild and untamable forces quelled, leading to a response of greater fear. So I'd like to draw out three lessons from this passage. First lesson, we need to have a right understanding of Jesus. A right understanding of Jesus. I suppose, in other words, we need to recognise just who Jesus really is. The disciples, you see, they'd begun to follow Jesus. They'd committed themselves to him. They'd given up a lot. But they hadn't fully got it yet. They had not fully understood just who this man was, that he is their Messiah, the Son of God, God himself in human form. They had not realized that this man was far more untamable than the ocean. Jesus has awesome, godlike power and authority. And that was a lesson the disciples had to learn. Perhaps we need to learn that as well. Asleep in the boat with them was the man who had thrown stars into space in the beginning. Asleep in the boat with them was the man to whom every knee one day will bow. Every knee, including all these demonic powers, including all the greatest emperors and kings who have ever lived. This is the ultimate King and Creator God in their midst, sleeping in the boat. So I think we need to kind of sometimes reassess our view of Jesus. Sometimes our understanding of God's just a bit too small. We might reduce Jesus to our little friend and helper. He is our friend and helper. But to reduce him to merely that isn't right. Too often our thinking is influenced by the world, so Jesus becomes a good teacher. Or, well, yes, maybe he can do a few minor miracles and he can comfort us when we're down. But when we look at the extent of the miracles of Jesus, we can't regard him as the genie in Aladdin's lamp. No, he's the God of the universe. The Lord Jesus is not at all as this world imagines. He is in control of the entire universe. He has unlimited power. And do you know, the next breath that you take is dependent on the Lord Jesus. So let's pause for a moment. Take your next breath. It's only because of Jesus that that happened. Jesus is responsible for that. That's why it's so important to keep on reading these gospel stories. To understand Jesus properly involves immersing ourselves in the scriptures. And if we don't do that, you see, we're going to end up with having some other idea of Jesus in our minds. Do we have that right understanding of Jesus? Second lesson then, following on, we need to have a right response to Jesus. The initial response by the disciples and the crowd in the Gerasenes was fear. Yeah, fear is actually a very appropriate response to Jesus, at least initially. Let's take a look at verse 40-41 again. In chapter 4, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In the boat, when Jesus says to his followers, "Why are you so afraid?" he doesn't mean, "Why are you so afraid of me?" No, he means, "Why are you so afraid of the storm?" If the disciples had understood from the beginning who it was in the boat with them, they would have not been so frightened of the storm. But if we have a right understanding of Jesus, it is actually appropriate to be rightfully fearful of him. After all, think about it, Jesus is God. He's got this unlimited power and authority. He's also going to be the judge of us all. The prospect of meeting Jesus as judge, well, that should make us frightened. But you see, excuse me, there's two things we can do with this rightful fear of the Lord. We can either listen to Jesus, follow him, or we can ask Jesus to go away. As disciples of Christ, Jesus calls us to have faith. He promises to be with us and to save us from our sin. He calls us to trust him. So he calls us to follow him in reverent fear. That's the right sort of fear we can have. A respectful fear. And Jesus assures us that we don't have to quake in our boots because he loves us. But it's right to have that reverent fear. But the other option is what the crowd in the Gerasenes did. As they encountered Jesus, what did they do? Verse 15, as they saw the demon-possessed man now sitting, dressed and in his right mind, when they heard about the pigs, they said, "Go away, Jesus." Verse 17, they began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Now maybe they were frightened about losing their prosperity. How many more herds of pigs might be killed? Perhaps they were frightened of the sheer force that Jesus has shown over the demons. Whatever it was too much. They begged Jesus to leave. I don't think that's a surprising response, because Jesus is not some tame puppy. He's the God of the universe. No one can manipulate him. Sometimes I wonder why we do that when we do try and manipulate him. We need to remember that just like the storm, Jesus is not under our control. But unlike the storm, he does love us and he calls us to follow him despite the weather. So when we have a right understanding of Jesus, fear is the appropriate initial response. But what do we do next? Do we then receive his promises of love in faith? Or do we just try to wish Jesus away and ignore him? Does encountering Jesus lead to faith or rejection? And if we truly understand Jesus, he actually leaves us with no other option. Faith or rejection. to follow as committed disciples or rejection. But let's come to our final lesson. Jesus allows his followers to go through storms. Jesus allows his followers to go through storms. This is a very interesting one. Because let's just think about it. Jesus knew, before they set out across the lake, that there was going to be a storm. Now think what Jesus could have said to his followers. He could have said, "Okay, chaps, a storm's coming. I want to keep you nice and safe, so get out your umbrellas and sit up on the hill. Watch the storm come out on the lake. And as the storm comes," Jesus says, "are you ready, chaps? Watch this. Be still, O storm." They all look and say, "Wow, that was impressive." Jesus could have easily demonstrated his power to his friends from the safety of the shore. But no, Jesus knew the storm was coming, and yet he said to his friends, "Get into the boat, you're coming with me." And then he settled down for a nap. Jesus was testing his followers. He was training his followers. He was developing his followers to have more faith in him. Sometimes Jesus allows his followers to go through storms, and in this case he actually led them into the heart of the storm. You know, the same is true so often for us. Jesus never promised us that life would be easy. He said that life as a follower of him is the right thing to do. But sometimes, as we follow Jesus, it means going into the storm. It wasn't easy for those disciples in the boat, but Jesus was teaching them. He wanted them to learn who he really was and to trust him in all things, to have faith even in the midst of the storm. Perhaps you're facing a storm in your life at the moment. Perhaps you feel like shouting, "Why, God?" It might seem that Jesus is not with you, or if he is with you, he's asleep in the boat. And you're thinking, "Why is he asleep?" But what would Jesus say? Would he wake up and look and say, "My child, what are you worrying about? I am with you. Do you still have no faith?" Learning to trust Jesus is not always easy, but we have to remember that even if he appears to be asleep, he's still with us. Jesus never said that he wouldn't let bad things happen. But he did say that he's all-powerful and that he loves us deeply and that he's with us in everything. And if Jesus is God, then he might have some reasons beyond our understanding as to why we're going through whatever trials we're going through. For whatever storm we are in, let's just remember that Jesus is the Lord of the storm. And he calls us to have faith in him. This morning, it might be that we need to realign our understanding of Jesus. We may need to think again how we respond to him. Or maybe we just simply need to receive the reassurance that he is at the heart of life's storms with us, calling us not to fear the storm, but to trust in him. He is the awesome God of unlimited power and authority. Well, let's pray to our great God now. Father, wherever we are in relationship with you, please move us on. Help us to gain a bigger understanding this morning of the Lord Jesus and his amazing power. Help us to respond appropriately in reverent fear and in faith. And help us to know that in whatever storm we might be going through, Jesus is there with us. Amen.